This is writer Kelly Thompson, and you've jumped inside the pull bag, only on GeekCast Radio Network.
You've just jumped inside the pull bag. Join TFG1 Mike and the rest of the comic crew here at the GCRN as they make their great escape into comics. From DC, Marvel, and Image to IDW, Boom Studios, and Zenoscope, we have everything right here. We cover things like Transformers, He-Man, superheroes, TMNT, and Radiant Black. Yeah, we have all that and so much more. It's all inside the pull bag here on the GeekCast Radio Network. So, without further ado, it's time to talk about the comics we're reading right now, here inside the pull bag.
Hello all, it is I, TFG and Mike, here inside the pull bag, only on the GeekCast Radio Network, and from episode 553 to 561, this is the Skybound section. That's right, all of these episodes that you're going to be hearing, including this clip, in front of every single one of them, is stuff from another comic review with Jesse Early and myself. We've already published all these over on that show for him, and now we are syndicating them here for the pullbag. These are completely unaltered, unedited episodes. So there you go. Make your greatest game into comics and enjoy the show.
Seeing you a groveling slave will provide me with great pleasure.
Groveling before a meatball like you isn't my style, Destro.
You're a paradox, Scott.
This is another comic review, episode 25, recorded July 21st, 2024. Welcome to another comic review. My name is Jesse, and as always, I am joined by TFG1 Mike from GeekCastRadio.com.
Hello, and I can finally say, as of this episode of another comic review, the website is now up and running again. 15 years. Yay!
I was going to ask you about that. By the way, I you know this is not at all related to what we're talking about, but going back to the website really quick, I saw on your homepage here, you were advertising all things Transformers, but the one that was being advertised, and again, I don't know if this is random or you get to pick and choose, but it's more 40th anniversary Transformers talk, and one of the brief synopsis was asking the question of whether or not Hasbro even cares about the 40th anniversary.
Yes.
And I've been thinking about that lately, right? We're more than midway through the year, and I haven't seen them put anything out.
The only thing they've put out now, because San Diego Comic-Con, as of this recording, is about to happen, is they finally revealed that we are getting SS-86-31 Optimus Prime.
Right, but I mean, even then, like, that's like, that line is just like, we're just throwing it into the generic line that we already have out. One of many generic lines we have out there. Yeah. It's like, they didn't even bring over the missing link from Japan, right? Like it's, Dakara's already done everything, just import it.
Yeah, really? Yeah.
So no, instead they're like putting out their own version that is going to be, I'm assuming in some other subline that they've got, all plastic, not at all anything like the missing link. So.
Yeah. Yeah, no diecast construction for us here in the U.S., folks. Only in Japan.
Well, they'd have to nerf the smokestacks, right, if they did that?
Yeah, they would.
All right, well, on this episode, we are bringing you not one, but two comic reviews. They are going to be Scarlet and Destro number 2. And Mike wanted to start with Destro, so that's what we're going to do. So Destro number 2 by Dan Waters, Andre Bresson, Adriano Lucas, and Russ Wooten. Damn, these A names are really messing me up. Mm-hmm. Quick synopsis for imagecomics.com. The world is changing, and Destro means to come out on top. But with Cobra Commander breathing down his neck and mercenaries Zama and Tomax seeking to dethrone him, as the world's premier weapons manufacturer, he'll have to survive the future in order to build it. And my quick rundown, probably the quickest one I've done so far. We open with a back and forth showing Destro blaming the twins for attacking his arms event, and the twins talking about how Destro is attempting to frame them for it. Each retaliates against the other by attacking each other's forces in various parts of the world. Destro and the twins eventually meet in an undisclosed area in the Pacific Ocean and hash out some form of truce. The issue ends with Destro climbing the mountain again to talk to the Clan Destro statues, only this time he is followed by a sniper working under the name Chameleon, who is looking to take him out.
Please, take him out. Please, just shoot him now. It's like the old duck season rabbit season at the end of the season where they're like, where Daffy's like, Bugs is like, would you like to shoot him now or wait till you get home? Shoot me now. Shoot me now. Yes, he does have to shoot you now. So shoot him now. Like, oh my God. This is the single most boring comic I've read in 11 and a half years. Single issue, single most boring comic book in 11 and a half years of reviewing comics. Oh my God.
Now, I guess, why do you think that?
Okay, well, let's see here.
The reason I'm asking this question is because I've been pushing my thoughts out there on social media, mm-hmm. and I'm hearing everything I hear back is that, oh, right, this is one of the best series out there. And I'm thinking, I don't know what you're reading that I'm not, mm-hmm. but there's no way this is one of the best series out there.
No. The only thing that's good about this series so far in the two issues is the art, the drawing, the way that, like, on that very first page, the very bottom panel where Destro says, but they did not kill me. Like, the way his face looks, the way it's drawn, the way it's colored, the way it blends into the where he's standing in the background, but the way the background complements the art, that's great. Next page, where Tomax and Zaymot are, same thing. You have their faces on, like, a pink, like, the window's cracked, whatever, and it's pinkish, whatever, kind of thing. Again, next page, you have Destro and one of them doing a split screen face thing. Love that. Absolutely love that. However, the writing is god awfully boring. Like,
yeah, I think from a visual standpoint, right, the visual storytelling, I think, is good.
Yes.
But the actual written word, yeah. I think is horrible.
Yeah. So again, I'm going to start on the dual face page here where Destro says Mars has the superior firepower by far. Extensive has the superior manpower by far. Okay, that's a nice argument. Go back and forth with that, and you're going to fight, blah, blah, blah. And then you have these, like, third bombardiers or whatever the hell they are, and we're trying to figure out who set up who and who did what to who, because some third party is trying to turn Destro and the twins against each other. I don't know, man. I just, like, at the end of this, I'm like, oh, God, dude, so, like, is there action in this? Yes, there is. There's the whole scene where they're firing on the stuff and they're firing at each other and whatever. That's fine. But you can have a great action scene, be a great action scene, but you need a good story around that.
Right.
And there's not enough here. Again, going back between the two of them. They've gotten their hands on my anti-aircraft pod design. Okay, so they stole your design. Okay, great. They stole your design. They're going to use it against you. Well, duh. And then Destro's next line is, well, I think our point is made, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, oh my God, give. And I have never, in 11 and a half years of reviewing comics, I have never, never covered a comic that I knew I was not going to like. At the end of issue one, even though I am perfectly fine, obviously, with us going forward, and hopefully it gets better. Hopefully there's something in issue 3, 4, and 5 that are better than this. But again, I have never covered comics where I just absolutely hate the writing and dread reading the writing. And this book takes the fucking cake. I'm sorry to use the F word, folks. I'm really sorry. I know we don't normally curse around here, but
I mean, I totally agree with you. I think from the storytelling perspective, the only thing that is relevant in this comic, meeting in the undisclosed location, the Pacific Ocean, where he's actually forming a truce with the twins.
Yep.
Like, I think that's the only story beat that matters at all, with the exception of the very end, which I know is like the next couple of pages here. But whoever this Chameleon character is, mm-hmm. because it says, well, I guess it doesn't say in this. If you read the solicits for number 3, right, it talks about essentially him battling this character. So obviously this character, Chameleon, whoever this character is, has some importance in the next issue. So it does set up obviously issue three, but I think those two moments are really the only thing that matter in this comic at all.
Absolutely. Nothing. And again, I will say, and I don't know how many people have listened to our Destro number one episode, but I'll say it here. He's essentially going back to Mumra's freaking pyramid and talking to the ancient spirits of evil.
Yeah, that wasn't a thing in the G.I. Joe cartoon, right?
Where does that come from? I have to do research on that, so I'm going to say I don't know. I'm going to plead the fifth on that one because I need to actually do the research on it. But even, I get it, Clandestro, I get it. He wants to go back to his dead family members. I get it. It's like going to a loved one's grave and talking to them kind of thing. But it just looks freaking weird. And he has to, I hope to, if issue three, Destro goes back to them again.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that kind of weird? Like, we're only two issues in and he's gone back there every issue so far.
Yep.
So I just did a quick Google search and I'm not finding anything as it relates to that character and this location.
Mm-hmm.
So if it is something from, that's canon with G.I. Joe and this character specifically, I don't know that it's part of the cartoon. Again, I'm not saying that it isn't. I'm just not finding it here at the moment. But to kind of throw this in, right, if this is the miniseries for Destro, obviously we were introduced to Destro in Cobra Commander. But this is kind of like giving us the backstory to him, kind of his rise to prominence. It seems like there should be some sort of explanation as to what the hell this thing is.
Yeah, should be, but there's not. I mean, and the whole time here, folks, I'm sitting here thinking, I wonder which one of these audio bits of mine Jesse's going to use for clips and stuff on Instagram, because God, I'm doing gold when I'm angry about Destro.
I guess to kind of close this out, or at least the close out here of this issue, Chameleon, mm-hmm. or codename Chameleon, who do you think this character is? Do you have any sort of idea?
I have to research it. I have no clue.
My thoughts were that this character is somehow tied to Cobra Commander, because I think everything we're seeing, right? I don't think the twins are, this is me speculating. Mm-hmm. I don't think the twins are actually attacking him. I think it's Cobra Commander trying to pit the two against each other.
That could be. I could buy that if it was a more competent writer. Sorry, not sorry.
But I personally think that's my speculation. I think that's what's going on. He's trying to pit the two against each other, see if they can take each other out. And I think he's potentially using either their individual forces to do it, or in the case of like Destro, right, he's got these robotic soldiers, mechanical soldiers, whatever you want to call them already. Cobra Commander kind of knew he was working on them, but Destro was kind of led to the fact that, they're not really functional at the moment, but I think Cobra Commander's smart enough to understand or figure out that they actually are, and he's lying to him. So, yeah, that's my speculation, that really it's Cobra Commander kind of at the helm here.
So Chameleon, according to Joepedia, is from the Real American Hero line, from the Real American Hero comic series line. She did not premiere in the cartoon at all, to my knowledge. But yeah, Real American Hero comics continuity, Devils Do. It's basically a Cobra's highest ranking officers, the Baron. She's basically the Baroness, but she's not the Baroness. She has a strong resemblance to the Baroness.
They're like, how can we repaint this toy? I know.
Uh-huh.
We'll call it the Chameleon.
Oh, Baroness is her half-sister, so they're basically twins. Not really. It doesn't say they're twins here, but it says that Chameleon is
Baroness. So they're related.
Yeah, so they're related. So, okay. All right, fine, cool, whatever. Hey, I'm interested. Hey, if anyone's going to come between Destro and the twins, let it be Chameleon for all I care. I just want better writing.
So I'm wondering if that's what this, if this character is actually Chameleon. Is there a G.I. Joe character called Overkill?
I don't know, but I know there's a Transformers character called Overlord.
Looks like there is.
Okay.
It is part of a Real American Hero toy line. His first appearance in the 1989 G.I. Joe Real American Hero incarnation of the series. Also appears in G.I. Joe Sigma 6.
Chameleon to Overkill. Overkill is a character in the Energon Universe G.I. Joe comics from Skybound. And this character appears to be the Overwatch for... Okay, so wait, that makes no sense. It... Man, people need to rewrite that. Seriously, it's literally... It says, like, the little clip, the little screen grab they have, Chameleon to Overkill... The About section for Overkill, Energon Universe, says, Chameleon is a mystery character who appears to be the Overwatch for Chameleon. That should say Overkill is a mysterious...
I don't know how much more stupid I can handle today.
Well, I mean, we can move on from stupid. So.
Yes, please. Well,
so I guess on that note, so obviously I don't think either one of us really are enjoying this series up to this point.
I don't remember if we gave Destro number one a rating at all, but... If we were going by the GCR Universal Rating System scale or our new geek meter that we have, it's the same meter. We just changed the name to it. We used full points and half points, so 4.5, etc. I would probably give Destro number 2 a 2.0 okay. out of 5 because it's just getting...
Well, so if you go like past the letter section here in this issue, you can see the cover art for number 3 of Destro. Mm-hmm. And you can clearly see that this chameleon character is female.
Yes.
And she does have dark hair because it's like you can see it come out of the back of the mask and then go inside of, I don't know, this red wrapping.
Yep.
So in comparing it here with the chameleon character that I see on the G.I. Joe... the Joepedia, I guess.
Yep.
I'm going to assume it's similar. The costume is obviously different, but same coloring.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I guess we'll find out next issue. Maybe, maybe we won't. She'll just keep the costume and mask on. I don't know.
I guess.
But yeah. So maybe it is this character, and we'll find out more.
Maybe.
But yeah, I guess, I mean, overall, I'm just not enjoying this series at all. Like we started out by saying, right, the writing is just not great. Mm-mm. I've not read anything else that this writer has written. So I don't know if I would enjoy his other stuff, but I'm certainly not enjoying this.
Yeah. Like out of all of the, like we had our issues with Duke and Cobra Commander, but it was good writing. Like, we had issues with the plots of those. We had issues, like, we had huge issues with the Art and Duke. It was too beige or tan or mauve or whatever. Fine. That's, it is what it is. But, like, literally, I said at the beginning so far of this episode of the podcast, the best thing in Destro is the art.
Yeah, that's kind of unfortunate, but I don't think you're off the mark there. So yeah, on that note, let's move on to Scarlet number 2 by Kelly Thompson, Marco Ferrari, Lee Luffridge, and Russ Wooten. Quick synopsis from imagecomics.com. In order to find her missing friend Jinx, Scarlet goes undercover deep into the belly of Clan Arashikage to discover the truth. But the man known as, and here's where they have an error on their website, the man known as might have other ideas. The man known as what?
Yeah.
I mean, that's clearly a typo there. So, all right, my quick rundown. So we open with Scarlet tied to a chair inside the Clan Arashikage stronghold, where she rips open a stitched-up area on her side and pulls out a razor blade to cut the ropes binding her. She quickly encounters resistance, but makes quick work of them with her hands, feet, and katana. The fighting ends when she encounters Storm Shadow, who tells her to follow him. As they walk through the stronghold, she sees Jinx training another ninja and resists the urge to call out to her. Scarlet and Storm Shadow have a chat over tea until the Hard Master enters and proclaims that they are impressed with her skills, but don't yet know if she has the loyalty to commit to the Arashikage, but a mission might prove that she does. We close with Scarlet in a helicopter flying over Tokyo, who descends down into one of the three high-rises of the Sato Trio looking for a weapon. Thoughts and review of Scarlet number 2.
Amazing. Everything top to bottom, and I'm not just saying that because of the shit we just read earlier. But seriously, Kelly Thompson is firing on all cylinders here. I forget who the original voice actress is for Scarlet in the original cartoon series, but I heard her voice coming from the comic as she's doing her monologue. There's the page where it's when the fight's going on. It's the top left-hand side of the, I don't know what the page number is off the top of my head, but it's her just kind of like, it's right before she gets shot at, where it's her and her face, and she's got a red exclamation mark above her. I'm like, huh, I know they didn't intend to do this, but I see a Metal Gear Solid reference right there, because every time I see an exclamation point, the first thing I think of is Metal Gear Solid.
And you hear the sound effect, right?
Absolutely. That's actually my text message alert.
Yeah, that's on page 9 up at the top. Yeah,
page 9 up at the top. There you go. But yeah, no, I'm digging this. This is awesome. This is great. And what is so cool about this is that between the drawing of the art, the coloring, and Kelly's writing, everything comes together well. And in the writing, we see present day and past tense with the whole Scarlet Storm Shadow in the Arashikage Dojo and everything else. And then we see like this flashback to when she and Jinx were hanging out and whatever else. I'm loving this. This is really good. Really good.
I'm really enjoying this particular series.
Mm-hmm.
I do think, again, I know I've brought this up with past miniseries. I feel like the story in this is going too quick. I feel like I need a little bit more backstory, and or it needs to slow down a little bit. But again, I realize they've only got 5 issues to tell this, so that's sort of the downfall of the miniseries.
Yeah.
So I can't really fault it for that, right? Whoever decided to make this a miniseries as opposed to making it part of the main, you know, the main series.
Yeah.
It's just a side effect of that. But yeah, overall, I'm really enjoying the writing. I love the artwork in this. The colors, which we've talked about, right? The colors on a lot of the pages on here are very reminiscent or very similar to those of Duke. But they are
more pronounced, though.
Yeah, like specifically in the areas where they're where she's meeting with Storm Shadow, sitting down for the tea. Like yeah. Those colors there.
But even in the fight, though. As she's breaking out from her little chair there, and then into the fight, there's again. You'll have to figure out page numbers. Like the page where Storm Shadow says "charming." Literally, it's her. It's the impressions of her feet that are on top of him as she's coming down, because she has blood or something on her foot. And yeah. You see her footprint, like. That's good. You see the effects of what she's doing as you see her actions. That's cool.
Yeah, I feel like overall the colors in this particular issue, I guess I got to go back and look at issue number 1 to say series in total, but I feel like the colors are fairly muted to some degree. And when you get to let's see, what page is this? You get to like page 18 where they're flying the helicopter over Tokyo. That seems to be a bit brighter.
Yep.
And then it kind of just descends back into more muted colors until they actually get into where she gets into the tower here, and it's kind of descending into that. Like the colors themselves, I guess, completely different color palette than what we saw earlier in the issue. Mm-hmm. Still muted, I guess, but the colors are completely different. But when you compare something like this to the Transformers or some of the Void Rivals, like I feel like the colors being used here are just a lot more muted overall compared to those other series, which makes me wonder, like, once they actually start doing ongoing G.I. Joe, like, what are we going to get there? Is it going to depend on artist, or do you think even depending, regardless of artist, I guess, do you think like they're going to kind of stick with a more muted color scheme?
Well, number one, I don't know how the G.I. Joe, I almost said miniseries. I don't know how the G.I. Joe ongoing is going to, like, how it's going to present the team. If each issue is going to present the entirety of the team, like Duke, Scarlet, blah, 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 everybody on the team going off into a mission per issue, or if it's going to focus on each of their characters per issue. Like if Scarlet's over here and Duke's over this way and doing this and doing that. What I will say is I think it is going to depend on who the artist is and what characters they're using so far in all of the miniseries. Yes, the colors at times seem a lot more muted, but that's because I personally think that specifically to Scarlet, and because it's Kelly Thompson, yes, you're focusing on the art, but also you're focusing on the awesome writing and just the way this, even though we're only 2 issues into this so far, This, to me, feels like the longest story. And I'm not saying that as a bad thing. I'm saying it as a good thing. Like, you're saying 5 issues is too short for you, and I understand that. I totally, trust me, after 11.5 years, I get it. But to me, this is like, these 2 issues so far have felt like a mini movie because, number one, you have great art, and number two, you have great writing. Like, when it got to the end, I was like, wait, that's it? But I want more. I don't want to wait a month.
Yeah, I think when I was talking about issue one the last time we were discussing Scarlet and Destro number one, I was talking about, right, it just felt like it was like there was so much crammed into that first issue because it was like speech bubble upon speech bubble, mm-hmm. but it was also very easy to follow. And yep. I feel like in a lot of the pages here, we actually get less of that. So yeah. While you felt like this one, you know, this particular issue lasted a while, I feel like this one was kind of more of a breeze than the first one.
Yeah, I get it.
Which kind of caught me by surprise because I was expecting it to be, you know, feel a little bit longer, not necessarily actually be longer, but feel right. a little bit longer, you know, very similar to the first one. And by the time I was done reading this, it just felt like it was, you know, very rushed. And like it didn't take me long to read at all. Whereas that very first issue, I love the very first issue. Yeah. It just seemed like it was a lot longer than what this one was.
I think it goes back to what I've said since you've had me on since day one of the podcast, where balance between art and writing, balance yeah. between action scene and talking scenes. And I think between the artists here and Kelly Thompson as the writer, the balance in number one, I get why there is so many speech bubbles. I get why you kind of felt a little overwhelmed with that, but I like that in that issue because it gets everything you need to know right up front with what Scarlet is doing by infiltrating where, you know, the place she infiltrated, Arashikage, whatever. And this one kind of slows down a little bit. So I kind of get your feeling of, okay, it's a little slow and then whatever. But what I liked about this was that you have essentially Scarlet going through 3 different, maybe 4 or 5 different aspects of what she's currently doing. That first page, the first, well, let's say first 5 pages, 4, where she's like right before they're like, she's escaped. We must attack her. And then you get the battle between them, and then you get her and Storm Shadow. Then you get the backstory between her and Jinx, which then goes back to her and Storm Shadow and the whole, oh, I'm not sure if I want to join or I have to do this trial or that trial. And we have the Hard Master coming in, and then we get to the actual mission that he's going to send her on, which we see one panel of that. We then see them planning it with the blueprints, which goes back to that it's the brownish orange thing with the blue blueprint and whatever. And then it goes back to the final pages, the final 3 pages of the darkest night colors with the blacks and her in the aquamarine green and white type of thing. And then it's her jumping down. Literally, I'm like, who are you, Ethan Hunt? Like, seriously, I'm just waiting for a Mission Impossible moment here with her. And I'm here for this issue, man. This whole series, I'm going to say it right now. There's nothing that this series is going to do that is going to make me ever say a super bad thing about it. Cause it's just so enjoyable compared to the other one that we're currently reviewing.
Right. Right. And I think when you compare these two to, or I guess Destro, right. We compare Destro mm-hmm. to, ongoing Transformers, ongoing Void Rivals, and I think those are 2 really great series.
Yeah.
It just seems like Destro is just like a waste of time.
Yeah.
One issue I do want to point out, and again, I don't know if it's an issue, but it is here in Scarlet number 2. So mm-hmm. on page 14, I guess it really brings up more questions than anything. Jinx references Netflix.
Yep.
So the question is, what the hell is the timeline of the Energy Universe?
This has nothing to do with you, Kelly. I just want to state that in case Kelly Thompson listens to this. This has nothing to do with you, Kelly. We've been talking about this the whole time, where we don't know where in the Energon universe any events really take. You've got Vietnam and various wars in Transformers. You've got stuff out in space with Void Rivals, which could be 1 million years from now or 1 million years ago. We don't know. So, yeah, I think that was just Kelly basically just writing it. And if I'm wrong, Kelly, please let me know. But I think that was her just writing something in to where they're, you know, finally just going to relax.
See, it could be that. And I, because when you look at something like, again, we don't know when Void Rivals is taking place at all, right?
Right, yeah.
Because it could be in the future, it could be in the past. Who the hell? Well, I guess we can't say that, right? Because we saw Jetfire in the first issue, and he ended up going to Earth.
Yep.
But I guess we don't know how long that voyage took. So, right. And then when Transformers opens, it almost seems like they don't say it's the 80s at all. But just based on how the characters are dressed, based on how like Carly's van is designed, it seems very much like it's the 80s. Now, maybe those are just, you know, callbacks to the 80s or, I don't know, playing on nostalgia or whatnot. So maybe it doesn't actually take place in the 80s. I don't know for sure. But to me, it seems like it does. But then when you read the Duke series, right, the end of Duke, it's showing the Transformers there. So it's like, okay, well, Duke is obviously taking place roughly the same time period. Cobra Commander, right, obviously somewhere in that same time period because we know that Megatron is there. Yep. And in the Free Comic Book Day issue, right, Megatron is now free. Mm-hmm. G.I. Joe hasn't started yet, so it's just kind of being put together, which we saw at the end of Duke anyways. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what the timeline is here. I wish someone would come out and state it. Maybe they like it being nebulous. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
But yeah, that was the one thing that just caught my eye. Again, on social media, I was asking people about it. And one response was, well, I just assume it's taking place in modern day. I'm like, no. Why did you get that assumption? So I don't know. But like I said, that was one thing that called me out. Again, nothing bad about the writing. It just stood out to me. So I'm trying to figure out what the hell this timeline is. Yeah. So I think that's it for Scarlet number two. We do have the issue three previews. Do you want to read those? You want me to cover those?
Yeah, sure. We'll get that. Scroll up here because I was moving to the good one. Destro, number 3 of 5, written by Dan Waters, artist Andrea Melania, and Adriano Lucas. August 21st, 32 pages, $4. Don't waste your $4, folks. Stranded in the mountains without any weapons, Destro must survive the chameleon's wrath. But who is the chameleon, and why do they want Laird Destro dead?
Because that's going to make the comic better.
And then Scarlet number 3. Let me scroll down here a minute. Kelly Thompson on writing. Marco Ferrari and Lee Lockridge for artist and cover A. August 7th, 32 pages, $4. Best $4 you're going to spend on G.I. Joe comics, folks. Scarlet has fought her way to the Arashikage's final test, a death-defying mission that could change the clan's fortunes, but where do Jinx's loyalties truly lie? Dun, dun, dun.
Hopefully not with Destro, because I'm hoping there isn't a crossover there. No. Although maybe if we could get Destro and Scarlet, maybe the writing for Destro would be better. All right, so I think that's it for this particular episode. Unless we also want to discuss the fact that if you're on the Kindle system of purchasing comics here, right? You're in the Amazon ecosystem. You still cannot get Scarlet number 2.
Yes. We should have mentioned this at the top of the show, but I don't know why. I don't understand. I need to ask Skybound. I'm going to pepper them on Twitter and Instagram and everything else and just say, hey, what's going on with this? Because if the physical issue was available on whatever original date it was supposed to be, and you have it through Kobo or whatever the hell you're using.
Kobo, yeah.
Okay, whatever. I don't remember what it was. But yet the Amazon date isn't until this coming Wednesday, July 24th. What? How? Why?
Yeah, so on that note, right, it did have the original release date. As we approached that, they pushed it back a week. Mm-hmm. And then as that date came, they pushed it back another week.
Yeah.
To, supposedly this coming Wednesday. Still don't know if it's actually going to come out this Wednesday. I asked Kelly Thompson roughly 2 weeks ago because she is on Blue Sky.
Mm-hmm.
I said, hey, love the new Scarlet series. Any idea why the digital release for number two has been pushed all the way to July 7th? Again, this was July 17th at that time, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
She said, thank you. She said, I do not know. It's very strange. I've asked Skybound to look into it. Sorry about the delay. From my research, the digital version of Scarlet number two was available on the same day as the physical release on every other platform.
Except
for Amazon. I ended up going through Kobo Books. So if you go to Kobo.com, they are also a bookstore, digital bookstore. You can download the Kobo app on your mobile device. If you want to read it, I think you can also read it just in your browser, just like you can on Kindle app. Mm-hmm. But they also sell the Energon Universe comics on there in addition to other comics. And yeah, I purchased it on there. Actually saved some money. It was cheaper on there than it was on Amazon. Or was going to be on Amazon. And yeah, I had no issues reading it there. The only thing it's lacking is the guided view, which I know you're a big fan of. I'm a big fan of it as well. They just don't have it. You can zoom. And it gives you a full page. You can zoom in on individual panels within that page. It just doesn't have the guided view. But if you're looking for another legal alternative to Amazon's Kindle service, you can look at Kobo Books. That's KOBO.com and check them out there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm not getting a kickback for that, by the way. So,
not yet.
Not yet. I did sign up for their yearly membership. So that was $10. And by doing nice. So, you save per purchase. So the $3.99 Scarlet number two ended up being, it was like $3.40 or $3.59, something like that. So not a huge save, but you do save over time.
Yeah, that's similar to what Amazon does.
And I mean, Amazon also does this, right? When you buy Kindle, you get Kindle points, but I never see them again, and I don't know what you do with them. but on Kobo, every time you make a purchase, like you get so many points per dollar spent. You get points, and then you can eventually, once you have enough, you can convert those over into a cash value and actually purchase more books on their platform. So I don't know if I'm going to continue purchasing through Amazon for the Scarlet series at the very least, right? If they're going to continue to delay and delay and delay, yeah. I think I'm going to just purchase it on Kobo. But I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm not going to double dip, I don't think. I do like having all of the comics together for a particular series on one platform, right? So like if I decide, oh, I'm going to switch over to Kobo to get Transformers, it's like, well, now it's split between two different platforms. And do I like that? No.
That's why I have not switched to Kobo, and I will if I need to find other ways. Yar.
Yeah. Arr.
Yar.
Speaking of shipwreck, so I think that's it. Plugs. What do you got for plugs?
GeekCastRadio.com, 15 years of the podcast network. I've been doing it for 16 years. And a brand new website, all new design, very different than what we've ever used in the past. Steve usually uses a magazine. This is a whole new and all different. So go check it out. Go let us know what you think of the new website. New podcast will be coming soon now that I can get back into full podcast production. So, yeah, GeekCastRadio.com. Go check it out.
Do you have another Transformers episode covering the 40th anniversary? I'd like to get down a discussion on that.
It might be past your bedtime, but we are recording the next episode tomorrow night, Monday, the 22nd, at 10 p.m. Eastern.
Well, that sounds like it's past my bedtime.
Yeah, sure. Unfortunately. but I'm sure we can pencil something. We can figure something out.
I'm an old man over here.
It's okay. Hey, I'm just older than you.
Yeah. But
get off my lawn.
All right. Well, you can find this podcast on anothercomicreview.com. You can find me on YouTube at youtube.com/matrix_prime. And you can find me on Blue Sky. I'm at Jesse Early. That's JesseEarley. And you can also find us on Instagram at Another Comic Review.
Yeah.
I guess you have to update it with that. But yeah, you can find us there.
I mean, I've given you all this gold in this episode. We could be Instagram famous with all the horribly bad things I've said about Destro and all the amazing, lovely things I've said about Scarlet.
See, I need to find some more time to put together like a little animated short with Destro and your voiceover.
Oh, God.
I just need to find the time to do it. So, all right. I think that's it. So till next time, it's Jesse signing off.
More than meets the eye.
Thank you for listening to The Pullbag here on the Geekcast Radio Network, which is featuring syndicated versions of Another Comic Review. Catch you next time. Make your greatest game into comics.
You've just heard the latest episode of The Pullbag, the GCRN's first comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate and leave a review for the show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Become a fan of us on Facebook, facebook.com/thepullbag. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter @thepullbag and @geekcastradio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.
Scarlet, are you all right?
Duke, it's about time you guys showed up. A girl gets tired hanging around the house.